The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
All right, everybody, good afternoon. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Of course, Rich gone all summer long. Brady sitting in. Arnie here. And we're in heaven is where I think we are, Brady. We are in heaven. And, Brady, I've already talked too much because right off the bat, to start the show off, tell everybody and introduce our special guest, please, Brady.
We don't usually start the show off with guests, but we make an exception today because we are at the Travis Roy Foundation Wiffle Ball Tournament. And Travis Roy sits in with us here right off the top of the show. Travis, thanks for being with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. I just got to the field for the first time in a month, I think. God, this place is gorgeous.
It is absolutely. Arnie had never been here before.
Never.
This is my first time at the tournament, but I've seen Little Fenway before. This place is absolutely awesome.
It's like a little wiffle ball Disneyland. It's got everything. And then wait till the lights go on tonight. We got a new feature tonight without some neat lighting. So I'm looking forward to that.
As Brady pointed out, you got the retired numbers hanging from the trees there. You got the Citgo sign. Even Brady's upset because he didn't see his Seattle Mariners on the fake scoreboard. I mean, hey, Brady thought of everything. This is three great fields. You got Little Fenway, Little Field of Dreams, Little Wrigley. Did you ever think it would turn into something like this, Travis?
I don't think anybody could have imagined. I certainly not. I mean, when we showed up here the first year, we're still just blown away. I mean, Little Fenway, the mounds in the background, you know, coming up that dirt road over the little one lane bridge in the Babbling Brook. It poured that first event. So one day event, and we had seven teams, and we raised like $4,000, and to know what's going to go on here this weekend, and the people I have met, and the generosity that flows through this place, and just the character and the pride and the joy that we all have in this place. It's so special when the best weekend of the year finally rolls around.
And, you know, I've heard many, many people come up to me and say, "This, Brady, you haven't lived here a year yet. This is the best weekend of the year." A lot of people have told me that. 34 teams here on three fields. What does this tournament mean to you and your foundation?
I was riding over my uncle just a half hour ago and trying to just tell him, I don't know how to find the words anymore. Yeah. I can tell you it hits me to my core. It goes right to my heart. What goes on out here, and not only what goes on out here, but all of our 34 teams, the 10 to 15 players in each of those teams. We had a new team playing from Alabama last night.
Wow.
Got in, met us down at First Republic Brewery for a drink, and not only did they show up, they're all excited. They got here early yesterday and played a little wiffle ball out here. But they also went out and they did their fundraising, you know, and they convinced, they learned about the story of the Travis Roy Foundation and trying to raise money for research, spinal cord research, trying to provide adaptive equipment grants to those that need it. Paralysis is a pretty tough deal. With the work that we do through the Travis Roy Foundation, we're trying to make lives a little bit easier and also provide hope through the research we fund. So I trying to find the words to explain exactly what this means. We could be here all weekend.
Yeah. How many teams did you start with? You're up to 34 now, and how many can this grow into? Can you imagine one day if it ever grows into over 100 or something like that, Travis?
It's an amazing complex, the Pat and Beth O'Connor, what they've built out here. I think we've got some neat things kind of maybe potentially down the road, but you know, hopefully we can make some more opportunities with the facilities out here. But I just want to celebrate all that we have going on here right now and this weekend and what's about to happen over the next 72 hours.
Travis Roy with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We had Pat O'Connor, who runs this property. We had him on Wednesday. We had Will Reeve of ESPN, who was here last year. Yep. We had him on yesterday talking about how much this tournament means to them. Is there a goal in mind? Is there a certain number that we're trying to raise here this weekend? And if so, again, you mentioned a little bit about what that money goes to.
It's funny. I never want to get greedy out here. I'm just so grateful for whatever the number ends up being. You know, last year we were 630. If we meet that, I'm thrilled. If we can creep over it, it's fantastic. You know, people always ask our players, you know, well, how much am I supposed to raise? And all I ask them is just to go out and raise put in an effort that you're proud of. Mm-hmm. And that's what our players do. And And it's in the end, it's always a big number.
Yeah, you know, I look over at the billboards and look at all the people that have come together. I mean, you got Dunkin' Donuts, you got the Poland Absolutely. Spring Waters, the People's United Bank, all kinds of people sponsoring this.
Jeff Blue, Stanley Black & Decker have been huge to us over the years. There's a number of local groups, Positive Tracks, a great youth organization that we work with that really challenge our youth participants to get involved, engaged in philanthropics, as they call it, athletics and philanthropy, and it's been a great partnership. And that's what's been really neat, you know, to see young people get involved, to see them come through here. Some of them came in as you know, 10-year-olds, and now they're 26-year-olds. And it's pretty neat. They've got babies of their own.
Now, you have a very deep Vermont connection, although you spend a lot of your time in Boston, but you do spend a lot of time out here, and your dad's in the UVM Athletics Hall of Fame.
Yes, he is.
He is. My dad played hockey at UVM and Athletic Hall of Famer, and he was a hell of a hockey player in his day. It's kind of fun to come up here and see some old Vermonters and tell the stories of the Golden Jet, I guess they used to call it. He had blonde hair like I did, and that's fun, and I spend my summers up here. My family's had property in Colchester since early 1930s, and Vermont, it very much feels like home to me. I grew up in Maine. I spend most of my time in Boston now, but Vermont is very much where I see myself, especially more in the future.
Yeah, do you have a chance to go to UVM games? You know, I know you try to make it down to BU games every once in a while.
Yeah, I generally get to UVM games down in Boston. I don't get up to games much here in the winter. I always had a seasonal cottage, although I'm working on changing that. having a year-round place up here hopefully soon. But the Gutterson is just such a great rink, great barn to go watch a nice ice hockey game. And nothing better than hockey. So,
well, they're talking about, hopefully, it looks like it's going to move forward. We're going to get to a point where it's going to be a new basketball arena on campus and refurbished, big-time refurbished Gutterson. But they are going to keep the integrity of the building, and that's been big to people up here. How big is this venue, you know, making sure that it keeps its original structure?
Well, that's always been we have a committee that works on this tournament. It's about 20 people strong, and they've been with us for so many years, and it's about maintaining that magic. Mm-hmm. And we get excited about seeing that dollar sign, the amount of money we raise grow, but our goal is to maintain the integrity of the tournament and the spirit of it and the energy of it. We're always trying to protect that as much as anything.
Travis, you do a lot of speaking engagements. You travel around the country. Very big inspirational story that you have.
Yeah.
And I heard Pat O'Connor say this the other day, and he talked about kind of the first 20 years of your life being in one mission and the next 20 years of your life being another mission. Talk about how those two have been equally fulfilling, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, very true. You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life really with a passion. I had a passion for hockey. I had this desire to see how I could be as a hockey player. I had big goals of playing in the NHL and the Olympics, and that came to an end. As I talk to groups, you know, there's lives where when we choose our challenge, times in our lives when we choose our challenges, and other times when the challenges simply choose us. And the next 20 years is it's been more about having a passion. I mean, excuse me, having a purpose.
Right.
Having a purpose for the work that we do with the Travis Wright Foundation, trying to give back, trying to really you know, do something good with my life and helping others. It's pretty satisfying.
Obviously, the outpouring of support. Was there one email, call, text that you got that helped you more than the rest, that was inspirational from anybody in particular?
I don't know. I mean, there were so many, and that's what was unique about my story. Not many people have live footage of them breaking their neck, you know, playing ice hockey, and there was quite an outpouring of support, and that's I realized very early how fortunate I was, you know, the support that I had, but I was still on the rehab floor, and I was still seeing other people there that didn't have that support, and families that were just, you know, going broke trying to pay for the wheelchair, the medical bed to get their son or daughter home, and I just thought, well, maybe we can kind of use this energy that keeps kind of following my story to help other people, and that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're going to do here this weekend. And I can't thank the community enough, though. You know, that I know we've got players out knocking on doors. I know that we had kids, you know, asking for money at the Dunkin' Donuts the other day, and and businesses around town donate items for auction and raffle. And so I just, this community has been incredible to me and to the foundation, and the community should feel real proud to know what they're doing for an organization like the Travis Roy Foundation.
Travis Roy of the Travis Roy Foundation and the Travis Roy Wiffle Ball Tournament. Yep. Here, Arnie, I'm still excited to see you hit today.
Yeah.
Travis, you're gonna want to. It's gonna be appointment viewing for you to see Arnie hitting today.
Generally, the guys behind the booth kind of lost their skills. That's why they're behind the booth.
Yeah.
So I don't know that anybody's expecting much from you guys, Arnie. But if you want to prove us wrong, I'll come back on the radio and let your fans know that you do have some skills.
Well, thank you. Now, Brady will attest this. I'm being on my best behavior, because by now I would have told you that my son plays goalie and he's in junior hockey and he's ready for a little BU when he's ready for a little college there, Travis.
All right. We'll talk after.
Hey, Travis, the one thing I wanted to know, and I know we'll get to break here momentarily, but I wanted to know this. You talk about the next 20 years, or the last 20 years of life being about developing a purpose. Once you started to turn the corner health-wise, how long did it take for you to recognize that purpose? Was it instantaneous? Did it take a little while to kind of put it all together?
It took a while to put it together. It was a couple of years after my injury when we started the foundation. But really, the first five to ten years of that foundation were, we did a little fundraising. We had an annual golf tournament, and this wasn't anything I was fully kind of slug my time and energy, my heart in. But the last 10-12 years, it has become my purpose, and I spent a lot of time at this, and fortunately, I've got a lot of great people that help me out, and it's very much a team effort. So it definitely didn't come right away. I mean, the desire to want to help was there, but to continue to do it at the level we're doing it now, raising $1.5 million a year with the foundation, there's a lot of great charities out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great events out there. It's not easy to be doing it year after year after year to have an event, any kind of event, be around for 16 years.
Wow.
16 years. I mean, you think about that. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
Charity event.
No. Give the website one more time, Brady or Travis. Give the website one more time so people can check it out.
TravisRoyFoundation.org. You can click right on there. Go to the Travis Roy Foundation Football Tournament page. And you're going to be able to watch a lot of social media links. It'll be on PAC Network. We got a lot of neat things going on.
Cool. Travis, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it. This is fun. I can't wait to eat and get some wiffle ball in.
I know, I'm smelling the sausage. I'm ready for a sausage.
Let's do it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. You're listening to 101.3 ESPN.
Right now, Brady's looking at Arnie and thinking, I have to deal with this all summer. The Huddle is back. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We are live at Little Fenway out here in Jericho. This place, Brady, is absolutely awesome. I totally see you geeking out here. You must. Even if you're not the biggest baseball fan, this is unbelievable. It really is. I thought when you said that we were going to come out Little Fenway, I didn't expect this such detail. You know, the scoreboard, the retired numbers, the Citgo sign out there, the Field of Dreams is awesome. That's my favorite one. I'm sorry to tell you that. The Field of Dreams is my favorite one, and I hated the movie.
This really is like. If I had a lot of money and I had a giant backyard,
this is what it would be.
This is the kind of thing I would do.
Yes.
Like, I would have something like this. Like, I think about all the time I spent in my own backyard playing wiffle ball, running into trees and crashing into my neighbor's fence that surrounded his pool and having to go across the fence to get the balls out of his pool. Like, this is what I would do.
Brady wanted a mini Safeco Field, but I don't think they're going to give the retractable roof, Brady.
Yeah.
That's a little too much there.
Well, if they can't even put the Mariners on the mini scoreboard,
Brady noticed that the Mariners were not on the mini scoreboard. They had Minnesota, Cleveland, Texas Yankees, Angels, Detroit, Baltimore, Tampa, Oakland, White Sox, Toronto, Kansas City, but they couldn't squeeze in the Mariners, could they, Brady?
No Mariners, because what they did is they went back to 2001. So Houston's not on there because they weren't in the American League back in 2001. Milwaukee was in the American League at that time. So the Mariners and Milwaukee got the shaft on the scoreboard.
I love that. I love the detail. I absolutely love it. So fantastic. And by by the way, you guys can come down here just to watch the games. You don't have to have a team. You don't have to play Brady.
You just come eat a cheesesteak.
You can come down. The Sausage Shack is here. They got all kinds of food here, drinks. All the media is here. It's like a Radio Row. People are just coming down to watch it. If you just want to come by, hang out, and just have some fun and you know, hang around some great people, this is a good time on a Friday night. Is it not, Brady, or what?
And these fields have lights. They have lights. They have our night games here. This is great.
I'm getting a little nervous, Brady. Getting a little nervous.
We're playing on the front field, so you're going to get seen.
I don't want anybody watching me.
There's going to be 1,000 people watching.
Everybody turn your back when I'm up. Nobody's allowed to watch me, for crying out loud. Oh, by the way, are we in the easy division?
We are.
I hope so. That's not even going to help me. All right, we got a lot to get to. Obviously, we're going to get a lot into the Pats preseason opener. Why we haven't gotten 10 million texts on the Town Fair Tire text line after we spoke to Travis Roy. Shame on you guys. At 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. So start using that up and get into that real quick. But like I told you, obviously, we have tons of stuff to get into what happened with the Patriots yesterday. Taylor Coppenrath will join us. UVM star, hoop star, going back way in the day. We'll have power play at a new time. We're going to move it to 5 o'clock today, only for today, because we have so much going on, and there's going to be games going on. Brady, it's going to be very loud out here.
Yeah, it's going to be very loud. The tournament's going to be getting crazy right around 5:30. So the usual time that we play, we are going to move power play up till 5 o'clock.
All right, Brady, I don't get a lot of predictions right, but I got this one right. I said this must be a bad suspension for Ezekiel Elliott, because they're waiting till after the Hall of Fame game so Jerry Jones can enjoy the spotlight without people asking him about Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I thought it was going to be a 2-game suspension, 3 at tops. I did not see 6 coming on this one. Ezekiel Elliott suspended 6 games from the NFL, if you're just tuning in now.
The NFL in this situation makes me sick, to be perfectly honest.
Wow,
with you.
I thought they finally got it right.
To be perfectly honest with you, this absolutely makes me sick. Number one, Ezekiel Elliott, if he did something so bad that warrants 6 games, you should have known that within a year. It should not have taken you 1 year to come to this conclusion. If he did something that egregious, multiple offenses that get him this 6-game suspension, we should have already been able to give
the
answer.
I think one offense is automatically 6 games under the new policy for the NFL.
Well,
so,
but he apparently had multiple.
That should have
come out to the light of day. Secondly, you just made my point. You said, I think the NFL finally got this right.
Yeah.
The NFL comes out looking like the good guy. They come out, in the case of Ray Rice, they underpunished. In the case of Ezekiel Elliott here, they have raised the punishment, and I won't say overpunished, because I don't think there's any punishment right for domestic violence, but or no punishment can be right for that. I think it's just a horrible thing to do. But the NFL, you think they come out looking like the good guy. The NFL profited so much off Ezekiel Elliott last year and the Cowboys' success. They made so much money off Ezekiel Elliott being great last year, and now they still come out looking like the good guy and they profited off of him last season. I just think it's disgusting.
Well, I mean, they were going to profit only because he played, though. I mean, they would have profited this year if they would have suspended him last year. It wouldn't have made a difference. The only thing here is now, with the 6-game suspension, I'm still waiting to hear the exact details, though, Brady. They're not telling us the exact details, though. I'm pretty sure it's going to get leaked out.
Well, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Jason, if you have this back in the studio, Rappaport was talking about what came down right at the moments that we learned about the suspension. Jason, go ahead and play that for us.
Todd Jones, the NFL Special Counsel for Conduct, said the advisors, and remember there were 4 independent advisors in Elliott's interview and meeting with the NFL, the advisors were of the view that there is a substantial and persuasive evidence supporting a finding that Elliott engaged in physical violence against Ms. Thompson on multiple occasions during the week of July 16th, 2016.
Okay, so multiple occasions, and I heard about this. You have to wonder why the police didn't find anything like this, and why they didn't find enough to go ahead and arrest him or to go ahead with charges on something like this, Brady.
Well, that's the other thing. People will say, well, Brady and Arnie, they didn't press charges. There were no charges filed. He was never arrested. Why is he suspended? Well, much like in baseball, basically the NFL has now instituted a basically, you're making the game look bad clause. We don't need to know. You don't need to be arrested, and charges don't need to be filed. And the prosecutors in the area of Ohio, they came out and said, look, we may not have been able to prove everything that happened in detail. We may not have been able to get a guilty verdict in the court of law. But we do know something happened, and that was good enough for the NFL.
All right. Ezekiel Elliott out 6 games. By the way, Brady, I guess I am going to be right. I said they were going to be 2-7 through their first nine. I wish I would have taken the under and wins because no Ezekiel Elliott for the first 6 games. Season over for the Dallas Cowboy fans. You're done. It's a 2-7 start. You won't get back to 500, and who knows what will happen to Jason Garrett, but this team is done with no Ezekiel Elliott for the first 6 games, Brady.
You are going to see the true test of Dak Prescott early here without having Ezekiel Elliott to lean on.
Well, they have McFadden and Albert Morris, I believe.
Alfred Morris. Well, I'm saying, but that's not Ezekiel Elliott. You're going to see how good Dak Prescott can be. But also, remember this. If the Cowboys' offensive line got lauded for being how good it was, then you should be able to insert any other running back in there and at least have a not a major drop. I'm not saying 1,700 yards out of these guys, but can they each get 600? Can the team rush for 1,400 as a team? I think you're going to see more creative play calling out of the Cowboys, and it's for a situation like this that, again, proves my point. I'd rather be the Patriots with my 4 or 5 running backs than lean on one guy like this, because you've just said, this guy's out, season over. Not the case for the Pats.
Not after the Patriots look yesterday. I'll get into that a little bit later on also. Remember now, the Town Affair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Let's get to the Red Sox and the Yankees. What, 4-game lead? Is that what it is, Brady?
4.5.
4.5 game lead into this one. You've got to go ahead, if you're the Red Sox, and make sure you don't let them get the sweep on you and close this thing to 1.5 games. Worst thing's worse, you got to take one sale pitching Sunday. So if you steal one of the first two, you're feeling good about taking 2 out of 3.
The Yankees are 6-3 against the Sox in 2017. They hope to continue to find that success in New York. Red Sox pitching has been dominant of late. They've allowed just 8 runs in their last 5 games, all of which are wins. They've won 8 straight. Think about the Red Sox and the Yankees is finally, it again feels to me like a rivalry. This feels like what it should be, and it has nothing to do with animosity between the two teams because there's a lot of individual likable personalities, but the teams are both in a position where they're both playing for something. They both tried to make some moves at the deadline. The Yankees made bigger moves than the Sox, but they're in that arms race with each other. They're both good. They're both playing for something. The worst thing for baseball is if the Red Sox go in and sweep and push the Yankees out.
Then it's all said and done. I wish they were playing here at Little Fenway, to be honest with you. It'd be good to see that one.
Well, Aaron Judge might be able to hit one out of here.
Yeah, I think he would finally be able to hit one out of here. Though, you're right. If the Yankees lose 3 in a row to the Red Sox at home, you could write this this division off, especially with at that point there'll be about a little over 40 games left, and then it will be about a 7.5 game lead. There'll be 7 games left between the Yankees and the Red Sox. And the Red Sox are just on fire. I mean, they're not quite like the Dodgers right now, but maybe the second or third best team right now playing right now in the Major League Baseball. Brady.
I mean, the Red Sox, I want to say that the third best record in baseball since May 28th, behind just the Dodgers, the Mariners, and the Red Sox. Even the Astros have slumped off significantly over the last month and a half or so as their pitching has really kind of hit the skids. This Red Sox bullpen is another thing just to continue to watch for. I mean, the best record or the best in the American League. The best ERA in the American League. Pretty impressive.
I felt last year, Brady, you weren't here, but I felt more people were in it last year as we were going down the stretch, or you were just getting here. More people were thinking, yeah, we could do this. We could win a World Series. Even though they're playing good baseball right now, I still feel like Red Sox fans are like, yeah, it's nice and it's a good story, and we'll go to the playoffs, might even make it to the World Series, but no way we beat the Dodgers. Kind of a defeatist attitude, or is nobody thinking about that like with the Dodgers?
No, and go figure this, really. I all year long have been saying that the Red Sox were going to just run away with the division. The Yankees were toast. Then the Yankees went and got Sonny Gray. I backed off the statement
right,
and said the Yankees are going to win the division, and now it's the Yankees that are faltering. So that just shows you baseball is a funny game. Matt in South Burlington is a Cowboys fan, Arnie. He says, how about you go see what McFadden rushed for missing games 2 years ago. Our O-line is better. Hashtag Cowboys Nation.
Well, yeah, it's not like 2 years adds on to a running back who, by the way, McFadden's, is that guy going to stay healthy for 1 year or not?
Well, he rushed for not even 90 yards last season.
Well, congratulations.
He had 87 yards last season rushing, and that's about it. And he was placed on injured reserve in September for a while.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFL? Tom Brady, right?
And Aaron Rodgers.
You're going to tell me you're going to lose Tom Brady, you're going to lose Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to make a difference? You lose the best running back in the NFL in Ezekiel Elliott? Well, you're not going to miss a beat there?
Here's what I'll say. And again, it comes back to my Seahawks for me because it's the perfect example. The team loses Marshawn Lynch last year to retirement. Russell Wilson is a good quarterback. He's better than Dak Prescott. He's got a much better defense than Dallas had. and that team fell off a cliff. Now the Giants or the Cowboys have a far superior offensive line. I do think you can plug and play a running back in that system, not to the point of Ezekiel Elliott. But I think they can manage. But no, I don't think they're going 13-3.
They no longer have the element of surprise. All you have to do is play against Dak Prescott because you're not worried about a running game because you know Ezekiel Elliott will go ahead and be gone. So you're saying, Morris ain't going to beat me, so the hell with it. When we get back, though, we'll go ahead and talk to Tyler Coppenrath, former UVM basketball star. He's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up on Sports Saturday at 11 o'clock, the guys will talk to Rick Briganti, one of the leaders of the Top Soccer Program, a program that helps special needs kids play team soccer. Rick Briganti at 11 o'clock on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Got the biggest sale of the year. Our annual Let the Big Dog Eat summer clearance event at the number one selling Ram truck dealer all of New England.
We've chewed the prices to the bone during these dog days of summer, making this the best time of the year to get into a cool new ride. You'll get huge discounts, big factory rebates, great lease specials, low interest rates, and we have a massive inventory to choose from.
And to throw a dog a bone, lease a new 2017 Ram 1500 Express Quad Cab 4x4 for only $199 a month. That's right, only $199 a month with a Hemi V8.
Just call, book, or visit, and we'll make getting in your cool new ride fast and easy so you can drive away today. But hurry, or Let the Big Dog Eat summer clearance event ends August 31st.
For the fastest, easiest, and most fun doggone way to buy, visit Goss Dodge Chrysler today, Shelburne Road, South Burlington, and online at gosscars.com.
Lease quote for 36 months, 10,000 miles per year with $29.99 cash or credit equity down plus tax, title, reg, well-qualified buyers. Must be in a current lease to qualify. We didn't really feed any dogs a bone, but if you buy during the month of August, we'll make a donation for every vehicle sold to the Chittenden County Humane Society so they can.
Go, go, go.
Love a clean car all the time? Well, Champ Car Wash has the solution. Thanks to the folks that took touchless technology to the next level, Champ Car Wash will provide you with the proper shine every time, as many times as you want. Check out their new Unlimited Pass, starting at just $24.95. You can wash your car every day. It's easy with Champ's new Unlimited plan. Whether you choose the basic wash for $24.95 or the deluxe wash at $39.95, you can go every day all for just one low monthly payment. Check out champcarwash.com.
Start your own color party with colors like champagne and jubilee. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 35% on paints and stains during the Love for Color sale, August 11th through the 14th. Your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store is right around the corner. Find it at sherwinwilliams.com/save. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Epix presents the new original series, Get Shorty.
That is a good title.
To make it in Hollywood, it takes muscle.
If you don't produce my film, I'll ruin you.
A B-list producer.
You asked me to make a movie with cash.
Not a problem.
We can work it out.
And a mob boss.
I like John Stamos. Will he be in it?
What?
Chris O'Dowd from Bridesmaids.
It's good.
And Ray Romano.
Do we have a deal?
Get Shorty. Premieres Sunday, 10, 9 central. Only on Epix.
Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We're at Little Fenway out here in Jericho for the Travis Roy Foundation. Please come on out. Have a great time. Whether you're playing in the tournament or you're not, you can come out, watch the games, meet people.
See Arnie strike out.
Yes. Yeah, that's. I'm afraid I can't argue with that on Brady. But first, we go to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, former UVM star. Everybody knows him. And, of course, playing right here at the Travis Roy Foundation, it's Taylor Coppenrath. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. You know, I was asking you before you came on, did I play basketball against you? And did we not play at the YMCA? I'm not. He thinks I'm kidding. Did you not play at the YMCA league or what?
I did not play in the YMCA league. No.
All right. So I must have confused with some other 6'7", 6'8"
guy. You
Brady.
Couldn't beat him.
I
couldn't
swore beat me I you took can't somebody beat him. Like that. But hey, thanks a lot for coming out. And right off the bat, what does this tournament mean for you? Was you coming out? You're playing. This is a fantastic event.
It is, and I've been a part of it for quite a few years. I can't even remember how many years now, but every year I look forward to the fall. One, it's getting me ready for you know, school or traveling usually in the past 10 years, you know, going overseas and playing. But it's a great foundation. It's a great opportunity. I've never played, you know, much wiffle ball, but I really enjoy coming out here with other celebrities and the sponsors and playing in this game to kick things off for the weekend. And it's always been a blast. You know, it's just fun to play somewhat competitive but loose at the same time, which usually was always a challenge for me.
Now, how have your experiences been here? Have you hit one over the monster here at Little Fenway?
I have, yeah. I actually, I was going for one every year that I played, and then I think one year I missed it.
Well,
just short.
So I'll have you know that you scarred our intern, Sam, who's run off here as you're up here for the interview. He said he was about to hit a home run about 5 years ago when you at 6'7", 6'8", jumped over the wall and brought it back. And that was going to be the one positive baseball memory he ever had in life. So he told that story earlier.
I love it. Hey, what do you think of that UVM basketball program now? Did you ever think it would reach such heights? Unbelievable, huh?
No, they're doing an amazing job, and you know, hats off to Coach Becker and the staff, and the players are just amazing. I mean, to go undefeated in a regular season, you know, conference play is unheard of, and for them to do that and really compete in the NCAA tournament, and they have a lot of promise, I think, you know. So I'm looking forward to hopefully catching a couple more games and, you know, really watching them play.
Do you really get involved now? I mean, are you going back and playing with some of these guys in the summer? Are you big into the program now, or do you just kind of hang back and then come out once we get deeper into the conference season and the championship season?
Well, in the past, when I was playing overseas, I used to use it as kind of like a tune-up for me and to kind of get a glimpse at maybe what they'd be doing in the season. And every year, you know, they've had tremendous talent, and we've had opportunities where we've, you know, been in a championship game a numerous years, and we've done really well in the playoffs. So they're a great program, and I like to be a part of it. And I actually helped their basketball camp at the end of June, and it was nice, and I got to play a little bit, but I am rusty after 2 years off. So,
Taylor Copperath joining us right here at 101.3 ESPN. Let me ask you about the conference. We've talked about this. It looks like a new arena is now in the works. Is it time for UVM to take that next step? I always said, hey, let's bigger the better. Let's think in Big East. You know, push the program up. I think it'd be a great, you know, great location for all those teams along the East Coast. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about, you know, moving up in conferences, but I definitely think, you know, if the opportunity comes around, just to get a little bit better seating, I think it would help the program. You know, I've loved the America East since we've been in it and played in it, but, you know, I do feel like there's been a little bit of a drop off maybe on other teams, but, you know, that they always seem to bounce back. But if we, you know, continue to win year after year and do really well, you know, maybe that jump would be a good move.
What would a new arena do from a recruiting standpoint, and would it be hard to see Patrick Jim go away?
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings because I was like, you know, when there was talk previously about a bigger arena and a combined, I was like, well, that'd be great. I think just for the city and maybe, you know, for concerts and other things to be brought in and play big teams, you know, but for whatever reason, we can't get big teams to play at Patrick, and I don't know if it's the size or if they're just afraid of losing.
There you go.
Because they're right there on the court, so it's hard to say if you lose that aspect, you know. It's kind of like when they had talk about moving Gutterson, but they like the fact that it's so fan-oriented, and you know, it just... bigger you get, sometimes you lose that atmosphere. But, you know, I think it'll be good if we can snag some big teams and get them in there and sell out the place. And, you know, I think people are excited about it.
UVM playing Kentucky this year, huh?
Yeah,
how about
that's
that,
a big
huh?
game, yeah. Yeah. Now we just need one at home. I'm trying to get Brown to I got to put a bug in TJ's ear to get him up here you know, to play. But
yeah, TJ Sorrentine, the one who hit the shot. Can you still believe he took that shot about 9 feet behind the line? What was he, like, 1 of 10 that day or something until that shot?
Yeah.
Shooter shoot, though.
Yeah, he shoots out of it. So that's
I got to when the tournament comes around every year, do you, like, send a tweet over to Jim Boeheim or anything like that? Say, hey, coach, how's it going? Do you ever see him and go up and introduce yourself to him or anything like that or what?
No, I've never seen him, actually, other than at that game and or after. It was a brief encounter.
I wonder why. Hey, Taylor, I got to ask you. When you look at the America East Conference, who do you consider to be your rival? Do you consider it to be New Hampshire because of the proximity? Do you consider it to be Albany because they've been on top of the conference for a while? Or does it just fluctuate based on who's good?
I think back when we were there, it was definitely, you know, BU had a very solid team. Northeastern, you know, we encountered those two teams were up there. And I'd say actually now, you know, I think they kind of transitioned to Albany a little bit because Albany had been winning, you know, I think they won three in a row.
That's why I get dirty looks because I just moved here from Albany. Oh, my brother went. My brother just graduated from Albany, so I'd wear purple here and people would give me dirty looks. So.
Can't be doing that. That's for sure. Taylor Copperath joining us right here on 101.3 ESPN. You took a new job now. You got a new coaching gig. Tell us about that.
Yes, I accepted a teaching position up in Missisquoi, which is up in Swanton, Vermont. And I knew that there was going to be maybe possibility of a boys and definitely a girls varsity basketball position open. When I saw that the boys hadn't come open and the just the girls, I said, well, I just want an opportunity to coach. And I think, you know, girls tend to have a little bit more, less ego sometimes and listen probably.
Well, that's
a
for bit sure.
More. And very coachable, I think. And I've actually got an opportunity to spend some time with them this summer in the Rice Summer League that they played in. So I've got to see them, coach them a little bit. And I'm excited. I know, you know, the expectations might be fairly low since they haven't won a game in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So it's a good, I think, position to start in for, you know, expectations overall, but I set my own personal expectations as I, you know, as a player, I did that as well, you know.
Is coaching something that's always, you've always had a desire to do, or is it something that just came about and you realize, look, I think this team could, this high school could use me and I want to lend a hand? How did it come about?
Yeah, I mean, I've been running basketball camps in the summer since I've been playing overseas, and I really enjoyed, you know, that aspect of trying to help these kids learn a little bit and grow a little bit. I mean, I went to camps and I was very open and coachable, so I listened to anybody that was telling me. It didn't matter, you know, whether they coached high school or AAU or they played in college or not. You know, I just tried to absorb as much information about the game because I just really enjoyed it. And I'm hoping that I can continue that. And maybe, who knows, maybe move into the college ranks a little bit later.
Wow.
Brady and I are going to come to your first game. We're going to give an inspirational talk. We'll get the girls pumped up. We're like, let's go out there and win, right? I mean, it's been 2 years, so that's got to be tough, though. I mean, 2 years not winning, and so what are you saying? One win, and I'll take it.
No, playoff.
No. We're shooting. They're Division II, and I just run a basketball camp in the Barry Odd. So you know, that's where our goal is. So.
Yeah.
Because it's an amazing atmosphere, and they just redid the courts, and it looks, you know, the floor, and it looks amazing. So we're shooting for the moon. And we'll see where we land. So, but I'm very excited. I think, you know, with some energy and focusing on some fundamental aspects, I think, you know. But if we just come out with energy, you know, and defense, there's a few keys, I think, but offense takes care of itself.
So. Now, you're a pretty quiet, unassuming guy, I think, and you said your dad was out here earlier. I have to ask you, what would you have done if your dad was like LeVar Ball? How would you have handled that situation?
Probably not well.
A little over the top for you or what, Taylor?
Yeah.
No LeVar Ball type parents allowed on the Missisquoi team.
Yeah. I mean, you can get involved and be positive, you know, but, you know, I think sometimes parents tend to take it a little too far, and
well, they definitely take it too far.
That's me. I'm that parent.
Yeah, that's Arnie.
That's me. I'm that parent. Hey, thanks a lot for stopping by. What time is your game, by the way?
I think it's at 5.
5 o'clock.
So we got to let him go then.
Okay, so you're playing the celebrity game. Which
we weren't asked to play by the way.
I'm shocked about that. Don't think I'm not hurt about that. And you're calling your shot not one but two home runs? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah? Sure.
And don't let me catch you on the basketball court because I will take you on. So we'll have to there. But, hey, thanks a lot for stopping by. We appreciate it. And we would love to come up and check out the girls' game and see how you're doing and definitely have you back on again. No doubt about that.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Taylor Coppenwath joining us here. So, Brady, help him with his headset because there's a couple things I wanted to get to before we get to the break, because we have a lot going on. By the way, if you want to send us a text on the Town Fair Tire text line, it's real simple, 802-655-6672. Good for Taylor to go ahead and stop on by. This place has all kinds of celebs out here, Brady, and
yeah.
You're right, we weren't asked to
but
be
you
in
know
the celebrity
what?
Game.
Better than that, we did get a chance. We have our own team to play on, so we get to play three games, whereas the celebrities just get one, so we get three. So I'm all right with it.
I'm okay with that also. Matt in South Burlington's calling us a blockhead. Says, how about you go see McFadden rush for...
We already talked about that.
Okay, I'm sorry I missed that. I didn't hear that one. So
basically, he's mad at me because I said Darren McFadden only rushed for 87 yards last year, and he said Elliott was the starter. No one else got snaps. Well, McFadden was also on injured reserve for 3 months, so that would lead to him not getting snaps either.
Well, let's get to the Patriots. I was not – forget about not being impressed, Brady. That was a downright horrible – horrible performance by the New England Patriots. Jimmy Garoppolo looked good, though he got off to a slow start. First question is, were you surprised that they kept it in for, what, two series?
Into the third quarter, yeah.
I think it was two series into the third quarter. Were you shocked about that, or was he sending a message to somebody? You tell me.
I think they just need to see Jimmy Garoppolo playing, because Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't had a good camp, and you can read into that how you want. I don't think it matters ultimately. The only thing that really matters to me about Jimmy Garoppolo in camp has been his attitude, less about his performance, just his motivation level. I've got a list of offensive takeaways. Can I start to give those?
Yeah.
And you mentioned the first one is the Jimmy Garoppolo factor, right? Jimmy Garoppolo showed why the Patriots view him so highly and why other teams view him highly. The mobility was what impressed me the most.
When he rolled out and hit the one across his body.
Yeah. I mean, that's the touchdown to Austin Carr,
yeah.
The ability to get him in play action. The Patriots put Jimmy Garoppolo in play action so much yesterday and just were able to use his ability. And look, for as good as Tom Brady is, he's not rolling right consistently, and that's what Garoppolo was doing. It was very, very impressive. The only negative you take away, if any, is that they went 3 and out to start the game and were a little slow to start. But other than that, he played very well, 22 of 28.
I thought defensively they weren't that good either. They didn't look very good either, the Patriots defensively. There were some good moments, but just on Garoppolo alone, I was ready to go and say, boy, oh boy, is he falling down. But when they got the touchdown at the end of the first half and then two more scores to start the third, and then you take a look at the final numbers, you see 22 of 28. You're like, damn, he had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
I think Belichick was sending a message home that it was unacceptable what they performed in the first half.
Well, here's my offensive takeaways. We just talked about Garoppolo. Now move to Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett, to me, look, he has the ability to play quarterback, but he needs to develop some finesse, some touch on the ball. Everything was him just rifling the ball. I mean, he's throwing the ball out of bounds. He's 10 yards over the head. Even the play at the end of the game, he's trying to organize the tying touchdown drive. He overshot him by, it seemed like, about 30 feet. It was really about 10, but it seemed like about 30. Jacoby Brissett is really, we were wondering if Jacoby Brissett played so well this preseason, could it make Jimmy Garoppolo expendable?
No.
And I certainly think even one game in, I think we could tell that Brissett's not on that level.
Do you think they were shopping around Garoppolo by keeping him in there until the third and said, anybody interested now, we'll still go with the two first-round picks? Or no, that's just because he didn't look so great in the first half and they had to bring him back two more series.
I think it's because he didn't look great in camp so far. He looked good at the end of the first half. They could have taken him out on that high note, and they didn't. I think Belichick just wanted to see him continue on. Other offensive takeaways, Austin Carr and Jacob Hollister played
Hollister
really
was
well.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Huh? You like that, huh?
Yeah, and the real question is, do either one of these guys have a chance to make the team? As far as Austin Carr, he's the wide receiver out of Northwestern. He was undrafted, leading receiver in the Big Ten a year ago. He played very well. I like him. He's going to have a hard time trying to make the team. When you look at Cooks, Edelman, Amendola, Malcolm Mitchell. I mean, that's four. Chris Hogan is five. You probably could, and I don't know the Patriots need six wide receivers because two of their running backs function as wide receivers at times. I don't know that Carr makes this team. As far as Hollister, third tight end behind Gronk and Allen, well, I think we could say he probably won't have a very big role. But I think he can really. I think he really helped himself getting on that roster spot yesterday.
Again, if you're going with three tight ends, I think most teams do. I'm not exactly sure. I don't see the rosters of every team out there, but I think there's a position for him, especially when Gronk is coming back from that big injury and he hasn't played a full season in how many years. So I think there's a definitely a spot for him on this team. And I was impressed with him. I liked it. I get excited seeing guys like that, Brady. I like that a lot. So I was quite impressed with the way he played, and he was into it, and he looked like a guy that could play. If he didn't make the Patriots, he looked like a guy that another team would pick up,
yeah.
and he could play in the NFL.
I think both Hollister and Carr showed that. Other thing I took away was the running game was fascinating to me. Number one, where was Rex Burkhead? I heard nothing about Rex Burkhead not playing in yesterday's game. I went on Champlain Valley Game Night and said Burkhead was the guy I was most excited to watch in the absence of Gillislee, and Burkhead didn't play, and that disappointed me big time. I wanted to see what he could do.
You know these guys are not going to go ahead and get out there in the preseason.
Yeah, but Deion Lewis played.
Well, you know what? Because there's a big backlash there. I mean, they want to see who's going to go ahead and shine on through. There's a little bit of a battle on who's going to get those reps. And a lot of you said you have 5-6 running backs. They're not all going to be on the roster. You're going to see some of these guys traded or cut or released where other teams will pick up. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious how that's going to play out. You still say everybody has 5 or 6. I'm still telling you that's not going to happen, especially as you said, Gillislee had a hamstring problem to start this thing off also.
Other takeaways out of the running game. Brandon Bolden played a lot at the beginning of the game. Leads me to believe that he's in a battle for a roster spot. And that's disappointing to me because I like Brandon Bolden. He's been on the team now 5-6 years.
Right.
Special team standout, does all the little things, can carry the ball.
That might be the difference too, because he's a special teams.
But I think he's the guy that's certainly potentially on the chopping block.
And I was going to say, I got to give you credit. You called one right, Steven Gaskowski. Did you see when he missed the 50?
56 yards.
Did you see Belichick?
No.
Oh, my goodness. I thought of you immediately. Right as he missed it, Belichick took off his headphones, and he really didn't mouth anything, but he gave the wide-eye look, Brady. He gave the wide-eye look, and when something, you know, was like, he looked at his coordinator and went, anybody who saw this last night, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I gave like, are we going to go through this again? Is this going to be a problem? I mean, he gave him the look like, hey, you better do something about this now. That was a good snap and a good hold. He just shanked that and missed it pretty badly.
Still 56.
Still 56 yards.
It's still 56. It's still not a
gimme.
Don't
defend him. You're the one that said you have question marks. I'm the one that said he'll be okay.
Deion Lewis getting a lot of reps yesterday. People wonder, does that mean, like we said about Bolden being on the block, that Lewis is on the block? I don't think so. I think Deion Lewis is safe on this roster, and I may be in the minority on that. But for a guy who, I mean, the team's never lost when he's played. They're unbeaten when Lewis is active. I think him getting in more and more in the preseason is more and more a product of he missed all of 2013 and 14 with injury. He missed some of 2015 and some of 2016. I think it's just about getting reps.
I'm telling you, again, I think they're showcasing some of these guys to see who could play. Because how many running backs do you think they're going to be able to keep on the roster? Maybe?
I think they're going to keep 5. I really do.
Well, there's some people going to be on the outside looking at it, and you might want to go ahead and go with some youngsters and say, you know what, we'll go ahead and get rid of a veteran, see if we can get some draft picks back or something like that.
Here's the reason why I think that.
Yeah.
Rex Burkhead's on a 1-year deal. Mike Gillislee's only on a 2-year deal. James White's the only guy that's really got a long-term deal.
Right.
It's not like they've got a bunch of guys locked up.
And they get rid of him, but it's not guaranteed. Right. So. When we get back, though, 32 teams in 32 days. Who are we looking at today, Brady?
Houston, Texas.
The Houston Texans. That's coming up next as we finish off hour number one live at Little Fenway here in Jericho. You're listening to 101.3 ESPN.
It's the huddle where Brady's in for Rich, Jason's in for Brady, and no one is in for Arnie. Because how are you going to replicate that? 101.3 ESPN.
All righty,
case we haven't told you, Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, coming up at 5 o'clock, like about 3 minutes from now. We had to move it up early because we had to move a few things around as we're out here. The Travis Roy Wiffle Ball Tournament. That's easy for me to say. But first, time for 32 teams in 32 days.
Yeah, we don't even have a lot of time on this today because we're so swamped. Well, so I'm just going to say this. The Houston Texans, I don't think they're as good as their record indicates every single year. I like Deshaun Watson.
I like him.
I wonder how long it's going to be until Watson really gets in there. How long until he can unbeat Tom Savage? This team got to the playoffs a year ago. Biggest questions: one, the quarterback; two, the health of J.J. Watt; and three, the health of Lamar Miller.
I am always down on Houston, but maybe not so much this year. I love the way Deshaun Watson looked. Now, that I don't know if he's going to get the start for this year. I doubt it, but if he keeps putting up numbers like this, the fans are going to clamor for him because that was their one glaring weakness. I thought Freeman was a pretty good, Foreman was a pretty good run, had almost 100 yards, which is almost damn good in the preseason. We know that their biggest Achilles heel was offense. Defensively, they're not a problem, okay? They didn't look so great in their preseason game to Carolina, but the one shining factor that we keep bringing up is Deshaun Watson. I think this team's going to be better than we give them credit for, and they could compete for a divisional title. It will go as far as their defense will take them. The running game will be okay. Will the passing game be okay? Depends on who's a quarterback. That's the big question mark, Brady.
I hope that the AFC South isn't as poor as it's been in years past. Tennessee looks good. The Colts, if Andrew Luck is healthy, could be good based on him. I don't think Jacksonville is a contender. I think the division as a whole is weak. The Texans could still be in it, but I still don't think they're a threat in the playoffs.
All right, that's 32 teams in 32 days. Coming up next after hour number one in the books, we're going to have Power Play right now. The new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. So dial on in now. Brady did dumb it down because we had to move it in earlier. So if you never get to play Power Play because the Lions are always busy, get to play now because, you know, we moved it up and people might not be ready for it. 802-655-6672. Lines are wide open right now. 802-655-6672. Thanks to our friends over at Laura B's. Jason with a Sports Center update. Then Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Brought to you by Laura B's Restaurant in Milton. Great steaks, seafood, and grass-fed burgers with family-friendly prices.
Get some time. Slow down here.
Can I make fun of him about something else?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because he's got to answer the phones.
Yes. And he had to do
did you hear? Update. Did you hear who he said the Lake Monsters were playing today?
I have no idea.
He said they were playing College Town. That's not a team. It's State College. State College is on the campus of Penn State. It's State College, the Spikes. They're an affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Lake Monsters GM Joe Dowd is right by us right now. And he looks at us and goes, "Who the heck is College Town?" And you know, it's nobody. Jason's got a lot to do today. He's got to answer the phones.
I got to tell you, you're quite the big shot.
In Ithaca.
Yeah, you're quite the big shot talking to all your TV friends.
And Ken Drake of NBC5.
Hey, Brady, how you doing? Nobody says hello to me. How you doing, Brady?
That's because it's funny.
Come on, TV Brady. Come on, TV Brady. No one says, come on, TV Arnie. I don't understand that.
You know why they know me? Is because
I don't know.
Number one, I talk to them when we're out. Number two, they see me setting up things, and they appreciate hard work.
I'm there, too, watching.
Yeah.
I'm there, too, watching. Invite Arnie on TV, for crying out loud. Who's all your TV people out here? Any of the weather people out here?
Tom Mesner, NBC5. He's okay. Here. He's down
he
there
say?
With Kendrick.
Sunny and nice today, 75. Well, I just did your job, Tom.
With a slight wind.
Yeah, slight wind.
We can see based on the American flag here in center field.
By the way, I want to say this for the wiffle ball game. Wind blowing slightly out the center field, Brady. I may have to go deep on this.
You're going to have to go. You're going to have to go deep, though. You're going to have to go to the deepest part of the park.
Yeah, that's. I'm a little worried. By the way, it's 94 feet to left field.
Yeah, but you got the high wall.
Got the high wall, 115 to left center.
128 to what, right center?
That's dead center.
Dead center, and 115 down the right field line. So I'm going to try to hit the green monster. I'm going to have to bat right-handed on this. All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Why do we have a line open at 802-655-6672, 655-6672? Let me go ahead and give you the three possible answers. Of course, in honor of the Red Sox-Yankees series, Brady. Wait a minute. What are you doing with the music?
No, we got to do the buzzer thing first.
Yes, slow down here. In honor of the Yankee-Red Sox series, the three possible answers, Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, or both. Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, or both. So, Brady, if I asked you, this guy played for both the Yankees and the Red Sox at one point, you would say?
Babe Ruth.
Oh, you are so good at this game.
I've never missed a question.
You are so good at this game. Jason Spinney, so I'll ask you again, if this guy's nickname was Teddy Ballgame, you would say who?
Ted Williams.
You are so good at this game. If I said this guy was a baseball player, you would say?
Both.
Okay, people, that's how easy it is. Ted Williams, Babe Ruth,
and please,
or both.
Do the, if you get it wrong, you'll
yes,
hear this.
I'm going to do this right now. So, we will ask you a question. You get that question wrong, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on there, you go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, you'll still hear this. And we move on. If you go, wait a minute, you got question four wrong, you're probably right. We don't care, though, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you get that's right. If you get a question right, we ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, you get that $25 gift certificate to our friends from War Bees. And I'll even sweeten the pot, because I don't even know the lines are full or not. If you're the first caller in and you get them all right, I will give you a $100 gift certificate to our friends at Laura Bees. Can you have anything to sweeten the pot? Do we have any other tickets?
I got some Lake Monster tickets.
Boom! Boom!
Lake and Dunkin' Monster Donuts tickets. Gift card.
All that for the first person. If you're the first person in and you get them all right, you will get the Laura B's $100 gift card. Brady will throw in the Lake Monster tickets and the Dunkin' Donut tickets. If not, we'll give you the $25 gift certificate to our friends at Laura B's. Do we have a line open? Do we have a line open, Jason? Jason must be answering the phone.
Must be answering phones.
Right, because I can't. He doesn't.
You know what's great?
Yeah.
Is people here who have never seen us out in public for the first time that are just
going.
Hey,
you guys want to play?
Yes. We want to play. Who's first up?
Let's go to Jack in Essex.
So without further ado, it is time for Power Play. All right, Jack in Essex. Jack, are you ready for Power Play?
Yes, sir.
What are the three answers, Jack?
George Herman Ruth, Ted Williams, and both.
George Herman Ruth, he says.
Yeah, well, he's confidence level very high when he's throwing in the middle names there. All right, here we go. Had a career batting average over 340.
Ted Williams.
No. That opens up a line.
I wonder if Jason, did I leave you the questions? Do you have any idea what's right and wrong?
Yeah, I got the questions.
All right, good. I'm just making sure.
Open.
Oh, my good, two lines open.
I'm just going to start going up to people here at the Travis Roy Foundation and saying who wants to play.
You know what? Come on. I know we moved the game up. And I know it's always funny when I have to increase the Laura B's gift certificate. All right, I said $100 to the first person. The second person, $75 gift certificate to our friends at Laura B's. If you get all 10 questions right now at 802. 655-6672, 655-6672, and Brady will still throw in the Lake Monster tickets.
Yes.
And the Dunkin' Donut gift card. Will you not, Brady?
And since the GM of the Lake Monster's here, maybe we could go find him and try to find some other things from the prize closet at the Lake Monster.
655-6672. Look, I know we put this on you guys early, and usually you wait till like about 5:30, but we had to get it in early. Do we have another person up there, Jason? Jason's answering the phone.
Yes, Brady. That's good, though. That's
that
a good
is good.
Sign.
Take your time. Answer the phones. Jump on in.
Tom and Shelburne.
Tom in Shelburne. Tom, are you ready for Power Play?
I am.
What are the two answers, Tom? Three answers, excuse me.
Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, both.
I don't know. Confidence level very low with Tom.
Look,
right?
We're
very low. But I can't be beggars can't be choosers.
With the new time, we can't beg.
Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
Oh, he got that right. I loved it. Had the higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
Ted Williams.
No, he got that one wrong. I let him think about that like it was the final Jeopardy question, to be honest with you. He thought about that for a long time, and he still got it wrong.
Let's go to Will and Williston, guys.
And when you ask that question, it's only 50-50 because you know it's not both.
And let's get the music,
Will,
Jason.
Yes, Will in Williston. Will, are you ready for power play?
I am.
What are the three answers, Will?
Williams, Ruth, or both?
Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
Had the higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
William.
No.
We just said that. As you always say, when the guy before you gets it wrong, don't come on and ask and give the same answer.
I would mix it up on that. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a hint. The answer to question two is not Williams. Is that a hint? Is that a good hint?
That's a good hint and an accurate one.
It might not give away the answer. But that's a pretty fair hint. 802.
You know what's funny?
655-6672.
Is that you always say, oh, we can do this for... Well, hold on one second, Jason. We can do this for an hour, you always say. We'll never get... Now we can actually do it for an hour.
We can do this for an hour. Nobody's going to... Who is this up from, Jason? Rick?
Rick in Waterbury, I think.
Rick, are you ready for power play? Oh, Rick.
Yeah.
Are you ready for power play?
Yeah.
What are the three answers, Rick?
Ted Williams, Dave Ruth, or both?
Oh, confidence level extremely low.
Yep, confidence level's low.
Negative two out of one from ten. Negative two. Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
You had to think about that? Had a higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
Dave Ruth.
There we go.
Is in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Ted Williams. Both.
Oh my God.
No. You don't get two chances.
Let me check with the...
Judges.
The judges. Judges, can we get a ruling on that, please? Oh, I'm sorry. The judges are very strict about giving two or three possibly answers in one sitting. 802-655 6672 802-655-6672. You would think this would be up a lot of people's alleys because we have Yankee fans.
Let's
we
go
got
Colt
Red Sox.
That's
fans.
Why I did it.
You guys are ready.
Let's go to Colt in Colchester. Colt, are you ready for power play?
I am.
When Jason gives us a little music, we'll get at it. Give me the three possible answers.
Williams, Ruth, or both?
Confidence level kind of high.
I like Colt Brennan back in the day.
Had the higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
Ruth.
Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
Is in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Both.
Served as a manager after he was done playing.
Both.
No, not every answer is both.
You know, can you rank your Colts? We got Colt and Colchester. We got four Colts.
Yes.
Colt and Colchester.
Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy, Indianapolis Colts.
Colton Wesson.
Colt Brennan and Colt 45.
What about Colton Wesson?
Or the Astros uniforms.
Yeah. The minor league team, right? Or are you talking about the beer?
I was talking about the beer.
Oh, there's a minor league team called the Colt 40-something.
Well, the Astros jerseys used to be the Colt. They used to be the Houston Colt 45s.
There you go.
Colchester, I'm putting above.
Jason, anybody else on the line, or is everybody pretty much giving up?
John destroyed everybody.
John in Essex. John, are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three answers, John?
Williams, Ruth, both.
I like John.
Oh, I do like John. Oh, confidence level. High it's ever been in like a month and a half. Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
Had the higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
Ruth.
Is in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Both.
Served as a manager after he was done playing.
William.
There you go.
Born in the month of August.
William.
Wife's name is Helen.
Ruth.
Failed to get 3,000 hits in his career.
Ruth.
I knew it. I I knew the wording would get him there.
Oh, yes, you did.
I was waiting for it.
I was actually thinking about that, too, as I was reading it. I'm like, oh, I read that right. How about that?
Cash me outside.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, Brady Gunch on that one. 802-655-6672.
Well, we got a caller, but Jason doesn't know his name.
But Jason forgot his name. Mr. I forgot your name in Vermont. Who is this?
Trip in Burlington?
Trip, yes. Trip in Burlington. Trip, what are the three possible answers?
Ruth Williams, both.
All right. Ruth, I like him.
Ken Drake of NBC5 just came by and said he loves this game.
Oh, he didn't say hi to me?
He was looking at you, but you weren't looking at him.
Put me on TV, please. Put me on TV.
All right, Tripp.
Here we go. Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
Had the higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
Ruth.
Is in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Both.
Served as a manager after he was done playing.
William.
Born in the month of August.
William.
Wife's name is Helen.
William.
No.
Somebody just got that one right. As you always say, now we're going backwards.
Helen Williams? That doesn't even sound right. If I didn't know the answer, I wouldn't have guessed that one, you know? Jeez. 802-655.
How many more you want to take?
6672 until like 10 o'clock tonight. 802.
Until the lights come on.
Until the lights come on. 802. Who in South Burlington?
John.
John in South Burlington. John, are you ready for power play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What are the three answers, John?
Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, or both.
Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
Is in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Both.
Had the higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
Babe Ruth.
Served as a manager after he was done playing.
Ted Williams.
Born in the month of August.
Ted Williams.
Wife's name is Helen.
Babe Ruth.
Failed to get 3,000 hits in his career.
Both.
Oh!
He got it.
Had more career hits.
Babe Ruth.
Ooh.
Question 9. You didn't put the answer for question 9.
Well, I know what it is. I know what it is.
Wore a number in the single digits.
Ed Williams.
Come on. It looks like you and I are going to be going to Laura B's again this weekend.
Wow, you got all the way to number 9. Now you guys know all the answers.
So let's just take one more then.
Yeah, we should have a winner. Next Waterbury. One should be a winner. Who's in Waterbury?
Ray.
Ray in Waterbury. Ray, are you ready for power play?
Yeah, we'll try it.
You just heard all the answers, Ray.
I was on the phone, so I didn't hear him.
What are the three answers?
Ruth Williams or both?
That's what. Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, or both? Had a career batting average over 340.
Both.
Had the higher percentage of votes for the Hall of Fame.
Babe Ruth.
Is in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Both.
Served as a manager after he was done playing.
William.
Born in the month of August.
William.
Wife's name is Helen.
Babe Ruth.
Failed to get 3,000 hits in his career.
Both.
All right, I don't believe he was on the phone.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Had more career hits.
Babe Ruth.
Wore a number in the single digits.
Ted Williams.
Oh.
Sorry.
All the way to number 9 again? Unbelievable. Now, how do we not have a winner next time up?
This is it. That was it.
That's it?
That's it.
No.
We got to go to break.
No.
Unless Jason's got another one for us.
Another one?
Guys, we're done. I'm tired of seeing people lose.
All right. That's it. I'll give the answers out or come back and give the answers.
Let's come back.
All right. We'll come back. We'll give the answers. We'll talk more about the Patriot game last night.
And then we got a guest.
And then we got a guest. And then we'll get ready for our Champlain Valley game night. Lots going on right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Mike and Mike when you drive in. And the Huddle when you drive home.
Yes!
Sports Talk lives right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We are live at Little Fenway out here in Jericho. Come on by, of course, for the Travis Roy Foundation. Even if you're not playing in the game, Brady, you can still come on by, have fun, get something to eat, enjoy good wiffle ball, meet people, and all kinds of people out here today.
Donate to the Travis Roy Foundation, and I want a cheesesteak. So after we play, that's the first thing I want to
get. And I'm getting a little nervous. People are watching. They're cheering. They got the TV cameras here. And I'm not so sure. I am sure. I'm not good at wiffle ball. I'm scared to help. And introduce our next guest.
Well, let's get someone who is a good athlete, unlike you. Sitting down with us now is Libby Smith, a Vermont native, also a former UVM scholar athlete in both basketball and golf. How you doing, Libby?
Doing great. Great to be here.
Now, here's the first question I have for you. Earlier this week, UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen said it's impossible to be a high-level athlete and a good student. You played two sports and were a good student, so how did you do it? Because clearly it's not impossible.
Hard work. No, time management, really. I mean, I had a fortunate chance at UVM to get my engineering degree and play two sports while I was there.
Engineering and two sports.
Oh, so you didn't take, like, because I took windsurfing, so you didn't take classes like that to get an engineering degree, I'm sure, huh?
I wanted to spend more time on the lake.
That's just great. That is awesome. What, four-year player at basketball?
Four-year player at basketball, four-year player on the men's golf team, actually, because we didn't have a women's golf team.
So. Look at that, Brady. I didn't even know that.
Now, you've been to the Roy Foundation tournament before. What is it like for you?
Unbelievable experience. I mean, Travis himself is just an unbelievable person. Just how selfless he is and what he's done, his Travis Roy Foundation, just to be a part of this game and be part of the weekend, help kick it off. It really is the best weekend of the year.
How long have you been coming to this?
This is my third or fourth year. So the first year was pretty sweet because I flew under the radar and nobody knew what I was. Got to jack a couple home runs. But,
she's better than I am.
So we'll see if we can do something tonight. But most of all, it's just fun. Good to see everybody and a great thing to be a part of.
Libby, how cool is it for you? We were talking to Taylor Coppenrath earlier. We were talking about the growth of the UVM basketball program. But how cool is it for you as an athletic alumni just to see the growth of the athletic department as a whole? I mean, we talk about soccer, basketball, hockey, men and women. You know, Amanda Pelkey from UVM is an Olympian now. I mean, this is pretty awesome stuff here.
It really is awesome. I mean, and I'm from Essex Junction, grew up watching UVM women's basketball when I was a kid, and really that was my drive to go and wear Vermont on my chest. So for me, it was a dream come true to play at UVM and, you know, be able to wear Vermont and represent Vermont, and to be able to see the way that UVM has grown, especially, I mean, really, it's Taylor's crew that kicked it off. So we owe them a lot, but just the athletic department, the student body as a whole, the alumni have really backed athletics at UVM, and so to be able to see the way that it's grown, we're all really prideful of that.
Chris Day, the new basketball coach for the women's team. I heard back in the day, and I've been living here 3 years now, but I heard back in the day that the women's game, you would sell out the games. I don't know if that was before your time or what, but that gym would be packed for you guys, huh?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, we had people sitting in the aisles. I mean, the last game I played there, it was that we played the NIT, and we sold out in 5 hours. So,
wow.
You know, it wasn't quite the heyday of like Jen Niebling and Sherry Turnbull when they were camping out, but if we can get people back in there, and, you know, Chris Day brings a lot to the table. So, you know, if he can rebuild kind of the heart and the soul of UVM women's basketball, hopefully that's where it'll get
started. I heard Pat Summitt had bought her team up here, too, for a game. Can you believe that? A long time ago, huh, or what?
Pat Summitt, actually, when Tennessee played Vermont, I was at that game, and I got to meet Pat Summitt, and it was one of the most memorable experiences.
Oh.
I always said to my mom, man, if I could have played for Pat Summitt, and all she said, dream on.
We need Gino Auriemma to come over.
How would you feel as a former player about a new arena? That's been the big talk. We asked Taylor about it. How would you feel about a new arena?
I mean, it's exciting and it's big. I mean, the way that athletics has grown, especially at the D1 level, it just puts a lot on the table. It brings more in to be able to sell to student athletes that are looking to go places. You know, my hope is that we can just we can build it, and people will come, and the gym will be full, and the rink will be full, and, you know, and we'll continue. One thing that has made us successful on the court, on the rink, is having a fan base, and, you know, and having loud arenas and having fans there who support us. So that's really what makes the athletic experience a lot of fun at University of Vermont.
Jeff Shulman taking over as the AD, and he's very big in the women's sports. So that's good for women's sports for UVM in the
future.
Huge.
Having Shulman come on. I mean, when Shulman got the job, I talked to him a couple times when he was heading into that, and just a representation of student athletes as a whole, and understanding what's important and seeing a vision and following through with it. So for him to be the AD is just a great place for UVM athletics.
Libby Smith joining us here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, former basketball player and golf player at UVM. You mentioned you're from Essex Junction. How much pride did you have in being from Vermont and being able to play at UVM? Because, I heard a complaint the other day from a listener that really struck me. Someone said there's not enough Vermonters on teams at UVM, and that really shocked me that people feel that way. But what did it mean to you to be one of the few?
For me, I mean, that was a huge thing. When I went through the whole recruiting process, some of my best friends joked about it, because I left UVM as the last one, probably full well knowing that that's where I was going to end up going. But I mean, being from Vermont and playing Vermont sports and growing up in a small community that we grow up in, we have such a fan base and such a loyal following that to be able to play for Vermont and represent the state was really important to me and something I'm really proud of.
Did you follow the Essex Junction Little Leaguers earlier this week that were out in Bristol at the regionals?
How great was that?
Totally awesome. Totally awesome. It's so great for those kids. I mean, you can see the heart and fire that they put in, and it's just fun that they got to experience where they got to.
We were out at the Poorhouse doing our show yesterday, and there was the bar was nearly sold out just watching those guys, and I thought it was pretty gutsy of the kid to say that he had a crush on his teacher and his player bio. I wouldn't have had the guts to do that as a third, as a sixth grader or something.
It'll be interesting when he goes back to school.
So you're a bowler, huh? What, two home runs? What over Fenway or what? I mean, you cracked it over the fence or what?
Hit one over the fence, did a little poppy kiss to the sky crossing home plate. So.
Brady, I know I can't do that. I'm going to be on the spot.
No, you definitely can't do it. I'm going to try to do it. I would like to know about this kid that's wearing the Sammy Watkins Builds jersey. Doesn't he know he just got traded two hours ago.
2 hours ago.
And it's now a throwback. Libby, I have to ask you. I just started playing golf about 2 years ago, and I like to say I can hit a 250 out and 350 to the right. How do I get rid of my slice?
Make sure the toe of that club comes around sooner. It's got to win the race back to the ball to straighten that.
That
slice
sounds
out.
A little too scientific for me.
I don't know what she said.
I'm going to have to get a little tutorial here.
How was it playing on the men's team, though? That must have been fun, huh, or what?
It was a blast. It was great. Mike Gilligan was actually my golf coach in college, so I always say Gilly taught me everything I know, but no, it was great. The guys were great. We had actually a bunch of hockey players, a couple skiers, myself who was playing basketball as well. So we had some athletes on the team, and we really held our own. So it was fun.
This is great. Again, thanks a lot for coming out for the Travis Roy Foundation. Looking forward to it. Looking to see you get some cuts in there. So get that on Facebook Live, Brady. All right, would you do
We will.
Libby, thanks a lot for stopping by, okay?
All right, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. We'll come back. We got more to get to live from Little Fenway out here in Jericho right here on 101.3 ESPN. Good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. They're getting ready for the celebrity game, which Brady's still a little bit salty that he's not in the celebrity game. So I'm a little salty, too. We should be in it, but I have a regular team, and we've got three games coming up here. So excited about that. And Brady, I just found out you can draw a walk, so I feel good now. I'm going to be leading into a couple pitches.
But there's also umpires there that can punch you out.
Widen the strike zone. If I get hit by a pitch, do I get on base or you don't know?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. And you could throw the ball at the base runners too.
Oh, I would just, I were somebody, I would just go for you.
Yeah, you're
just
totally going to peg me. So
just right at you.
We just found out intern Sam's team won in extra innings. And
he ditched us for an hour so he could go play.
Yes. And he also,
what a great boss I am.
He said he had the game winning RBI. I don't believe him, but I'll just take his word for it right now. And we'll move on from that. But anyway, we're out here at the Travis Roy
wiffle ball tournament. Absolutely fantastic. I seen this on TV, Brady, living out here. I just didn't know it was this big until you get here and see how many people are here, how many people behind the scenes, the sponsors, the media. I just thought it was going to be us doing the show here. I didn't know it was going to be like this, Brady.
No, unfortunately, we couldn't just run the whole gamut on everything. Yeah, we had to let the others in.
We had to let the others in.
But so, we're friends.
Yeah, all the TV crews are here.
But you have asked every TV person, why are you not on
yes,
TV?
Yes, I've asked
You know
everyone.
How annoying you are?
I know. I'm very annoying, and they know that, though. And who said they love Power Play, the new and exciting
game? Ken Drake, right there. Ken Drake? Said he loves Power Play.
Yes, they all listen to Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country. All right, look, we didn't need a terrible job by us with the text. So if you want to get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, now is a good time. Anything you want to say, everything we've gone over, or being out here at the Travis Roy Foundation, the Wiffle Ball Tournament, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. So use it now in case we missed anything during the course of the day. But Brady, we've been pretty busy. I don't know. Look, the Patriots obviously had a big game. We talked a little bit about it. Just overall, you were not impressed with that. And I'm surprised people have not texted me about Belichick, his facial expression after Gostkowski. He missed a 56-yarder.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't not impressed. I think I look at the preseason the way most people do, that the result doesn't really matter. I just want to see the team be competitive. I want to pick out certain takeaways. I told you about the offensive takeaways, but I have a lot of defensive takeaways, too, and I think they're important to get to.
Oh, I got a few of them, too, myself. Yeah.
Most of the defensive takeaways are negative. The Patriots, here's the biggest thing. They had no sacks, no quarterback hits, and no turnovers
forced.
And who
was the running back that ran down the left side untouched for like a million-yard touchdown?
Yeah, I mean, Leonard Fournette ran well. T.J. Yeldon ran okay. Chris Ivory ran okay. The Jaguars do have three decent running backs. We'll say that about them. No quarterback pressure for the Pats. And for a team that we believe that their biggest weakness, maybe their only weakness, to be can they rush the quarterback? They didn't do anything to quell those doubts yesterday.
I don't want to put a lot into one preseason game to judge the Patriots. I usually judge that by individuals, though I could see Belichick getting on this team's case saying that's unacceptable with the way they played. And by the way, how about the shot that Leonard Fournette took against the Patriots and the NFL? Said the NFL was slower than he thought and the Patriots were easier to play than he thought. I don't. Would you be saying that after your first preseason game, Brady? Or
no,
what?
I absolutely wouldn't. And if I see them again down the line, I'll remind him of that.
That's like you getting a home run in your first pitch at bat and saying, boy, Major League Baseball is so much easier than I thought. I'm ready. I'm going to hit home run every time.
More bad news for the Patriots defense. Dietrich Wise got injured yesterday. Yes. This is a guy who I've really been high on, and most people have been high on, for how he's performed here in training camp, a guy that could even start on that end position and be a rusher to help alleviate the concerns about the pass rush. Well, he got injured with an apparent head injury, and they showed him walking on the steps, extremely groggy, almost fell down. No update yet today from Belichick, basically keeping it in-house. That's not what we wanted to see.
Are we also too early to start questioning what's going to happen now that Ninkovich decided to go ahead and retire? Or, you know, was that part of the problem also, Brady, too?
I think we knew that this was a potentially thin group or a potentially problem spot, and then Ninkovich retiring, it just continues to hurt you. Dietrich Wise is a guy that the Patriots need to be able to step up, along with Derek Rivers, and it just didn't happen yesterday. Coney Ealy.
Yeah.
It's a disappointment for me right now. And
go ahead.
It's not off one preseason game only. It's off of the totality of camp so far.
Right.
I was so excited when this team acquired Coney Ealy because of what he did in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I mean, he, in Peyton Manning's swan song, I mean, he forced a fumble. He had multiple sacks against Denver for Carolina in that Super Bowl. I met him at the Super Bowl and thought he was just great. He was bright. He was energetic. He was smart. He was conversational. I really, really was high on him. And people just kind of questioning his motivation right now. He's in a contract year, and he's not doing much, even in camp, just effort-wise.
Does yesterday's game make you want to change your prediction for the Patriots? Whatever you think it was good. Like, if you had 15 wins, do you want to go down a notch? Or if you had 16 wins, do you want to go down two notches? Or you don't want to be a knee-jerk reaction guy there?
No, I'm not going to be knee-jerk reaction guy. I just like picking out individual performances like you do,
right,
and developing takeaways on them.
I could see somebody say, you know, like saying, you know what, I after a preseason game or two saying, you know, maybe I'm a little wrong on this team or that team, and offensively or defensively dropping them down a peg or two watching preseason. But you didn't see a lot of, I mean, you didn't see Gronk, you didn't see Brady, you didn't see a lot of guys for the Patriots.
The guy I feel, it's hard to say you feel bad for him,
Garoppolo,
but
the guy that fans get on is Cyrus Jones.
Right.
And Cyrus Jones is a guy, he was beat yesterday for that 97-yard touchdown down the sideline early in the game. He was then beat on the deep 45-plus-yard touchdown. A little bit of safety miscommunication also. It's not all on him. But Cyrus Jones is a guy, his best value to this team is as a return man. He didn't do well at that yesterday. Didn't even average 20 yards a return in the kicking game. Didn't return a punt for more than a yard.
Belichick's going to address that, I'm sure, by the time.
But he was a second-round pick last year. I don't see him being a guy who's going to get cut. I don't think there's any danger of Cyrus Jones getting cut. But he can get buried on that depth chart for sure.
Yeah, I totally see them, Belichick, addressing that. And I'm not so sure what to make of Gostkowski because, Brady, you brought this up. I'm like, they're not going to do anything about Gostkowski. And I even asked you if they brought anybody in the camp to go against him. He said no. And I'm like, well, then he's done. He's a set deal. I don't know if they'll bring somebody in after. Though a 56-yarder, as you mentioned, oh, that's a long one. You can't be expected that. I think it was the way he missed it, Brady, that had Belichick worried there.
I don't think Steven Gostkowski is in danger of getting cut either. But Patriot fans, if you listen to him and you read the message boards and go through the threads, that's another guy that people are worried about.
Right.
I mean, he has missed and had the propensity to miss some big kicks, over the last few years. He's certainly not maybe the all-pro that he was. And I didn't even like the decision yesterday to kick it from 56. I think this is a guy.
I said the same thing. I'm like, come on. I said, I bet you they want to see if Gostkowski can kick it this far. That's the only reason they're going for it. And I said for them, when they gave it to Leonard Fournette, I go, they're going to give him up the middle just to see if he can get into the end zone from fourth down.
I totally agree with you. I think it was a test of Gostkowski.
Absolutely was.
And I think it's a poor decision for a team that is known to put their players in the best possible situations to succeed. I don't think they put Gostkowski in a good position yesterday. Don't you need to kind of coddle this guy's confidence, especially early, and just get him into it? To me, I didn't like the decision to go for it.
Right.
Or, I mean, I'm sorry, to go for the kick.
Right, to go for the kick. I think I would have gone for it on fourth down also. That's what preseason's for, to do something like that. They're getting ready for the celebrity game. I like this guy with the ponytail. He's got the full baseball pants on. That's what I'm going to – look, I bought Bengay.
You can't have a ponytail.
I know that, but I bought the Bengay. I bought three knee braces, two for my left one and one for my right one. I got some gym shorts. I got the white T-shirt. I got the gray 101.3 ESPN T-shirt to wear.
Which, yeah.
Yeah, I got the baseball shoes. I got two pairs of socks. I got the goggles. I got the hat. I'm ready to roll, baby. I didn't bring the 4 ibuprofen, but I'll find that, I'm sure, from somebody around here.
You're wearing goggles for a game that's going to be a twilight 7 o'clock game?
Yes. Well, what am I going to wear? Sunglasses or regular glasses? I can't do that. I'm going to have to wear the goggles. You know what I mean? The only thing is, will they fit, and they'll fit around my head? I'm not sure.
Are those prescription goggles?
Yes, they're prescription goggles.
You're like George Costanza.
What does that mean?
Remember when he lost? He left his glasses on top of the locker in Seinfeld at the health club, and then he had to wear his prescription goggles around. If you lost your glasses.
Yes, I would wear my prescription goggles.
Would you have to wear your prescription goggles?
Absolutely. I would wear it around town, and people wouldn't know you're playing basketball. I'd wear it with a suit. I'd wear it with whatever I have to. By the way, Colby in St. Albans said he wanted to come out here and play. Couldn't get the time off. Hopes we have fun and to be safe out there. And by the way, if we will Facebook Live or at Bats Brady, so in case
at least yours.
At least mine. So if you want to watch it, Brady will get it up on Facebook Live, and you can go ahead and check it out. But this is a great scene. They're going to get ready for the celebrity game, and I'm excited. This is going to be a lot of fun, Brady. I know you're pumped up about it. No doubt about that.
What's your favorite part so far of the complex? Do you like Little Field of Dreams?
I like the Little Field of Dreams. That's fantastic.
Because of the cornfields?
The cornfields and just everything. I mean, I love the way they have the retired numbers up there, and I love the Citgo sign. I mean, and you know what? I was afraid to ask if JetBlue was... is that part of the thing, or is that a sponsor? But it's a sponsor.
It is a sponsor, yeah. Because the guy who started JetBlue is a Vermonter.
Yeah, so, and of course it's a hub here too, but it's just great. It's just fantastic. And they didn't spare any details. I just love what they've done here, and you're right, Brady. If you had a house this big, I told the guy who owned the property, I go, I want to go in half and half with you. He said, you don't have enough money. I said, hey, let's build a mini Madison Square Garden. I'll come here and play basketball with all my buddies. But this is a fantastic venue. It's great.
Yeah, if I had the money and the acreage,
this is
exactly the kind of thing that I would do. And, you know, Pat O'Connor, we had him on Wednesday, remember? He does rent this out various different tournaments throughout the year, Travis Roy being the big one. Craig Breslow, former Red Sox, he does a tournament here. He's doing it again in October. It's already been approved. It's already going through, coming up at the end of the baseball season in October this year. That's a fun one.
Strictly wiffle ball, right? You can't, like, do tennis ball?
No.
Yeah, this is strictly wiffle ball, which I love.
I love at the Little Fenway. They've also got the netting above that. I mean, what a touch that is.
I didn't even really notice that, to be honest with you.
I asked.
Wait, pesky pole? Where's that?
There's a pesky pole here in right field.
Oh, look at that.
You can't. The only thing you can't do here is you don't have seating yet on the Green Monster, because this was built in 2001. So this is a 2001 Fenway.
Retro, yeah.
So there was no seating on the Green Monster. There's also some liability issues with that, with having people sit on your roof.
I love it. Well, they got people out there in center field there, Brady.
Yeah, but those are, yeah.
That's... Yeah, they got people out there in center field. They got the camera. By the way, all the news crews are here, the TV crews. They've got radio from different parts of the country. It's just bigger than I ever could imagine, Brady. It's fantastic. And you can hear the crowd. There's how many people are out here for the celebrity game? This is insane.
They said there's going to be over 1,000 people here at any given time. By the way, what were you doing with Jason this afternoon? Because I asked Jason, I said, Jason, look, I feel bad. I know you're stuck in the studio running the board. You can't come hang out with us during the show. But hey, do you want to come out here? I'm setting up. Do you want to come see the place? He said, no, I'm about to be with Arnie.
My wife cooks a whole bunch of food.
Which I wasn't offered again.
Right. And I don't like to eat it. So I make Jason come over and eat it. So that way I don't have, because usually I just throw it down the garbage incinerator. But this time I can feed it to Jason. I don't feel like it's going to waste. You know what I mean? So he goes and eats everything I put out.
At like 10 in the morning, because I left at like 11:15.
Last night we were watching the game, and the guy had like 4 bowls of ice cream. So, you know, he just doesn't.
Is he paying rent yet?
Yes. No, not yet. He's not paying rent yet. And I was a little too loud as they're doing the introductions. Matter of fact, Brady, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll get to Last Story Standing. We'll tell you more about the event right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to 101.3 ESPN. Brady, one story I wanted to get to about Ezekiel Elliott, because now, as our last story standing, Las Vegas sports books are scrambling to take down the various odds about the Cowboys after Ezekiel Elliott got suspended for 6 games. The Cowboys have been listed as a 4-5 point favorite over the Giants in most books before the game was now taken off the board. They've taken off the odds for them to win a World Super Bowl, and they've taken off the odds on the over-under for the Cowboys, all because Ezekiel Elliott, one running back, is out for the first 6 games. Is that crazy or what?
And now we know Ezekiel Elliott, he's willing to take this through the courts. People close to him saying that this suspension is based on, quote, horrendously speculative evidence. And early in the show, I expressed my displeasure at how this took over a year. If he did enough to get 6 games, then you should have been able to find something within the year. Well, reports now coming out that part of the reason it was delayed so long is because the Players Association took a long time to give up information, and that delayed it. Now, I don't know that that would have made a huge difference in the time frame, but it could have made a difference.
All right. They're doing the introductions. Brady, do we get introduced like this for our games? Each game gets something like this?
No. This is the celebrity and sponsor game. So people that have helped put a lot of money into this tournament, and some of the names and faces who are some of the biggest personalities. I mean, look, Taylor Coppenrath is here. Some of our friends over at the TV station, Ken Drake, Ellie Perrier, she's the Montgomery, Vermont native who was, you know, the NCAA champion. You know, she's an unbelievable runner. We've had her on a few times as well. She's in this. And Libby Smith, who we just had on, she's in this as well.
Good crowd, too. They got food here. The Sausage Shack is here, and it's good. You know, it's really good because you see a good community get together. I was driving around, Brady. I went right by the sign that said the Travis. Yeah. I went right by it. I'm like, there's no way.
Well, look,
there's wiffle ball fields out here.
To me, that makes it even more special. It's secluded back here in Jericho. It's not hard to get to. Just put it into your GPS, the address, 17 Sawmill Road. I want everyone to know this, Arnie.
Yeah.
We want people to come out. We really want you to come out. Come hang out with us. We want you to donate to the cause. We want you to buy food here.
I mean, Brady and I are gonna be eating, too.
Yeah. We want you to come out here and buy food. Anything helps to the Travis Roy Foundation. You can watch the tournament live on the PAC Network, which is www.pacnetwork.com, P-A-C-K. And you can watch us play 3:30 on Saturday. Oh. So we're playing tonight at 7. And then we're also playing 10 a.m. and 3:30 tomorrow. Our 3:30 game will be streaming on the internet.
National TV for our game on Saturday at 3:30. National TV. By the way, do I have to like write a message on my iBlack or something?
Stinking genius. Stinking on one, genius on
what
the other.
What should we write on our iBlack?
101. How about
or the barrel of my bat or something?
How
like
about
that?
We miss Rich. How about that?
There you go. Rich would be having a blast. All right, we got to wrap it up. Thanks to intern Sam. Appreciate all you guys hanging with us for the show. We kind of mixed a few things up, but obviously, you know, it's for a great cause out here. Please come out, hang out with us. We're going to be here for a while, and Brady's got Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next, so enjoy that.